This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27. Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have, give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me." When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Did you hear that remarkable thing that Jesus said? He said, anything that you do to try to get into the kingdom is like a camel trying to pass through the eye of a needle. It's not possible. I mean, this man was going to do everything except give away everything that he had. He had gone farther, offered much more than most people had already offered, and Jesus just revealed, hey, it's impossible. The only way a person can be saved is that God does it. It's all grace. Nothing's impossible with God. It's amazing. Oh, well, that isn't the message, but it's always the message, isn't it? So this word is so big to me that it's impossible to share it today, and even tomorrow we'll share little bits, but I won't be here this Sunday. I'll be ordaining someone from Kenya in North Carolina. But I'll be back the next Sunday, and we'll preach this word. And if you're like me and most people, you'll forget everything I said today and tomorrow, and it'll be like a fresh word to you. I love this. "For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not to its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption, into the freedom, the glorious freedom of the children of God." Again, we said this a couple weeks ago, that anytime somebody acts up or does something dumb, or all you're hearing is a groaning that wants to enter into glorious freedom, and they don't know how. They want what you have, they just don't know that's what they want. Therefore, when they encounter us, they should discover that's what they want. But I love the word, the glorious freedom of the sons of God. There's a place I've been hanging out for the couple of days in 1 Timothy 6 and then today in 2 Corinthians 7. I want to talk to you about how glorious this freedom is. And so if you're like me, it'll blow your mind. So click it off, turn up the heart button, all right, then notch it up a little bit and hear, see with the eyes of your heart. Jesus said, "Who has ears to hear, let him hear." In 1 Timothy 6, it says this about God in verse 15, "which he will bring about at the proper time. He was the blessed and only sovereign." Oh, he's the only sovereign? Yes, devil's not sovereign. God's the only sovereign. So it's important, in light of what I'm going to share with you, that you remember that God is only sovereign. And he may not be causing everything, but he's in the midst of everything, causing it to work together for good. He is in control. That doesn't mean he causes everything, but the enemy's not in control. So let me read these verses to you. This is from 1 Corinthians 7, and I'll read a couple of verses from 1 Timothy 6 again. And we can't go far in this, but I want you to see how glorious this freedom is that God's called us to. I think that when God does something new like he's doing among us, which is really something old but just bigger, it's always for freedom's sake Christ set us free, that we might walk in more glorious freedom. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 7. I want you to notice how many times he uses the word called. "Only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each, in this manner let him walk." We mean let him walk. As if God called me here. As if this is my assignment. "And thus I directed all the churches. Was any man called already circumcised? Then let him not become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called as uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised, because circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. Well, in Galatians 6, he says, uncircumcision is nothing, circumcision is nothing. The only thing that matters is a new creation. And, of course, only as new creations in Christ can we keep God's commandment. Then he makes these crazy statements. He says, let every person remain. It's the word abide, like abiding in Christ. Let every person abide in the condition in which he was called. He's not trying to say let them remain in the situation. He's saying, in the situation you were called, make sure you're abiding in Christ. And I'll go on and explain it even further. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. That's so funny. And so this is so ridiculous, it's impossible to explain this to the world. And so many Christians have worldly thinking now. They've not renewed their mind. They still think like the world system. This blows them away. So they don't know what to do with these kind of verses. For if were you called while a slave, do not worry about it. But if you are able to become free, then do that. So does Paul endorse slavery? No. Does Paul say if you can get free, be free? You with me? But if Paul's talking to Christians. And so if you're called and you find yourself, you're called to be in Christ and you find yourself in this place of slavery and you can't get out of it, then make sure you're abiding. For he who was called in Christ while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's bondservant. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let every one of you, now this is the way the grammar should be written, let every one of you abide participating in God. Let each one of you abide in Christ, participating in God, in that condition in which you were called. Now, isn't it interesting that he said, if you were called in Christ as a slave, don't worry about it. What's easy for Paul to say? But he said, now, if you can get free, get free. But here's the deal. If you were called while a slave, you are God's free man. If you were called in Christ while a slave, you're God's free man. And then he goes on and he says, you were bought with a price. So if I'm bought with a price, I don't belong to me anymore. I don't have rights. I don't have the right to complain. I don't have the right to have attitude. I don't have the right to gripe and criticize. You with me? Dead people don't do those things, and Christ won't if he's living his life through you. You were bought with a price, but don't become slaves of men. Now, wait a minute. He just said, if you are called as a slave and you can't get out of that condition, then abide participating in the life of God there because you're God's freedman. But don't become slaves of men. What is he saying? Don't let men's treatment of you or the situation that you're in dictate your disposition and your attitude. And yet we do that all the time. We let our circumstances and our situation dictate to us whether we're walking in glorious freedom or not. What is he saying here is that, I wrote this down so I wouldn't misquote it, which I don't want to misquote me. Regardless of the situation you're in, Christ's likeness is your freedom and your assignment. He says, don't become a slave of men. Don't let their behavior or their wrong decisions or their attitude or your situation be an excuse to not be Christ-like. To be an excuse, if you have an attitude, if you're complaining, because, and all of us have done it, right? We've made art forms out of complaining. You with me? I've got two hands raised. But that's not freedom. Freedom, it doesn't matter what situation you're called to in that moment. He said, don't be a slave to the situation. And if you have an attitude or you're complaining or you're criticizing or you're griping or you're fearful or you're whatever, then you're a slave to the situation or to the person who's created an uncomfortable environment for you. But freedom has nothing to do with your situation and your circumstance or the persons around you. This is a small group. This is an important word. I really pray all of us get this because there is a chance for you to walk in personal freedom. And how many times do we think if this would just change or if that person would just change or whatever would just change, I would be happy and free. Nonsense. It's abiding in Christ, participating in the life of God that creates freedom. That's why I said Christ-likeness is not just your identity, it's your freedom, and it's your assignment. Because listen to this thing in 1 Timothy 6. In some ways, it's even more ridiculous. But the gospel is ridiculous. The gospel is this promise. It's a supernatural thing. But one of the key things there was what? You were bought with a price. As long as we demand our way that we think is the right thing, instead of trusting in God who alone is sovereign, that you've called me into this, and we keep griping and complaining and pushing against it, you'll never walk in freedom. There has to come a place where you give up and give in to the will of God and abide in Christ. And I don't mean give up in a depressed way. Give up in coming to your sense kind of way. Let all who are under the yoke as slaves regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching, and Paul's teaching about being in Christ, may not be spoken against. Huh? And let those who have believers as their masters do not be disrespectful to them, because they are brethren, but let them serve all the more, because those who partake of what you do for them are believers and beloved. Now, that's another thing we'll unpack, God's grace. But notice what he says there. He says, and let those who have believers as their masters. So the first verse, he says, let those who are under the yoke as slaves regard their masters as worthy of all honor. He's talking about lost slaveholders. How in the world can you do that? Abiding in Christ. And when you do, you are his freed man and woman, because you're participating in the life of God. And let me just tell you, God is fettered by nothing. Nothing limits his freedom. Paul and Silas appeared to be fairly free, having been beat up and then chained in the lowest part of the dungeon in Philippi, while at midnight, hurting, bleeding, rats everywhere the size of cars crawling all around him, no electricity, no bathroom. It's just nasty. I'm sure they had to go to the bathroom, but they're chained, so he's just what? Clothes are soiled. The worst scenario you could ever imagine. And they're singing hymns and praising God at midnight. What? They were Christ freedmen. And nothing and nobody can touch that. There's more that needs to be said in all this. It's pretty amazing, but it's stunning to me. This is revival. This is the glorious freedom of the sons of God. This isn't living around with the attitude that you're some kind of victim of circumstances or some person's bad decisions in your life. Just recently, something happened, and and it's got nothing to do with anybody in this room, so don't get paranoid, where a person didn't behave like I thought they should behave, and so I was disappointed because of a situation, and I was, in my heart, as a sanguine, I was disappointed. Sanguines get disappointed because they want to have fun, and therefore this was not going to be as much fun as I thought it was going to be. But I thought fun was about them doing a certain thing, and then God had reminded me, said, you were bought with a price. Really wasn't your choice. And freedom doesn't depend on what anybody does. You want to have fun? Abide in me and participate in my life. And let me make the choices. Oh, yeah. Empty vessel. Oil poured forth. Living in a place called encounter. Amen? And he gives the worst case scenario. I can't imagine anything worse than being a slave to an unsaved person. But this is why the gospel is so powerful. It's circumstance-free. It's like caffeine-free coffee. It's circumstance-free. It's people-free. It's Christ-free, man. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.